Welcome to Still Growing in Grace, a program dedicated to inspiring joy, giving hope, and delighting in grace. I'm Mike Zenker, and I'll be sharing with you a message of hope that will expand your understanding of God's love and amazing grace. God already deeply loves you, totally accepts you, and really, really likes you. Growing in Grace Ministries Canada and Hope Fellowship, your community church, invite you to enjoy today's program as we dig deeper into what it means to be still growing in grace. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Still Growing in Grace. Great to have you with me this morning. Now, some of you watch these later because not everybody's available at like 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for this program, but I hear from you guys later, which is really nice. I got a different kind of topic today, and Richard Murray and I are having a conversation about intuition in the light of Christ. Again, if you read the part in my write-up down below, sometimes we wonder, how do we get that gut feeling of something's true or not, or the sense to make a decision? We're not sure where it comes from. Is it our intuition? What is it? And I think Richard has a great, great spin on this, a way to understand it. And in my mind, I think it's the light of Christ in us. I really do. But it's not just in us. It's in all humanity. In the whole world, in the cosmos. So let's just see where this goes. This could be good. I think you're going to really enjoy this. So let's dig in to this really, I think, a great conversation. Oh my goodness. It's been a little while since we've had Richard on, at least for me, by the time I record these. So Richard, thank you for taking time to join today. Still Growing in Grace. I may have to change that title because I think we get a little edgier sometimes in some of our topics, and Still Growing Grace sounds so lovely, and yet we dig into stuff that isn't lovely, and yet it points to lovely.
Yeah, but how about barreling through grace?
Oh, that'd be fun. Oh my God. Well, we could go crazy on this. Could be fun. I don't know if I know we're recording this, and I forgot to talk to you about this, but I bumped into two guys in the last couple of weeks that I really like, and I think you would love, and I aired it on Still Growing Grace last week. Two guys, man, I better look it up because I don't want to screw up their names.
I watched a couple of minutes of that. I was on my way to court, and I Jason, listened to it, and I liked it. I could only listen to 2 minutes of it, yeah, but I liked it.
Jason and Derek, amazing. Like, I love their hearts. They seem to have the personality of what I gravitate towards, a more gentle approach to sharing or exploring truth. They don't come across as arrogant, dogmatic, and have arrived and come follow me. They're like humble, really great dudes. And so I don't know, I'm really looking forward to getting to know them, and I hope you'll get a chance to connect with them too.
I'd love to.
Yeah.
That'd be great. But
those, I think what they're kind of talking about in the conversations that they're doing in their podcasts, we've been doing as well. But they call their program Rethinking God with Tacos. So it's kind of fun.
Like it.
Yeah. And mine's with coffee. So anyway, it's just really funny. But what I'd like to maybe talk about today is some of the pros and cons or hindrances to the walls that sometimes go up that prevent people from hearing the message of truth that we may have. And I think we've seen enough flags in our own lives. We've learned our own stuff, but we've seen it in others and go, oh shoot, I mirror that. I don't like what I see. Holy Spirit, keep changing me. Right.
Right.
I want the gentleness and the love of Christ to come through. That's my hope. Now I completely forget what we were going to talk about. Oh my goodness. Help me out.
What keeps us? No, I mean, we were talking about intuition.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and the importance of intuition in our spiritual walk. You know, and some people would say, you know, the intuition is part of our conscience, and I think it is.
Sure.
I think our conscience is a very real thing, and Paul talked about the conscience several times.
Tell us the connection you made with intuition with that person you were talking about, that comedian.
Yeah, Norm McDonald.
This will lay a better foundation.
Yeah, he's a fascinating comedian. My boys have always loved him. And he's a free thinker. And he used to be on Saturday Night Live. And David Letterman, he is the comedian's comedian. He was so beloved And yet he could be coarse. I mean, he was capable of telling a dirty joke, but he was also capable of being clean and funny and thoughtful. And I'll never forget, he was judging this comedian show where the stand-ups get up there and then they have a board, you know, that judges them, five panels. And somebody was up there bashing Christianity. And he just criticized him. He said, "That's easy. I mean, that's an easy target. You know, you're caricaturing, you're exaggerating, and it's not funny." And he was, I saw him on a YouTube, a Catholic theologian last night. A couple of interesting guys that they were smoking cigars while they were talking theology. I thought that was kind of neat.
That's becoming a pattern among people who are unhitching from religion.
but he had been on Twitter. I'm not good with that thing. That I don't know how that works, but and
It's
Norm had
annoying.
friends. Norm had followed him, and Norm only followed like 50 people, and he was one of the people that he followed. And I'd never heard of this guy, but anyhow, he said they started that he had posted something that saying he was really hurting, and that was all. So this guy sent him a message and just to check on him, and then he didn't know, but he was dying from he now Norm knew he was dying from cancer, but he didn't know. He wasn't telling anybody. He was keeping it to himself. So this guy, and he didn't tell this guy what his problem was. He said, "Well, I'm hanging in there. I'm doing better." But then they started talking and sending questions and sort of essays to each other. So the guy got to know him, and anyway, he just said he was that what he noticed about him was that he said, for instance, with the Bible, he said he intuited that there was truth, important spiritual truth in the Bible. And not on a literal level, but he intuited there was great truth here. And then from that, he started reasoning through that truth. And I was thinking how different that is with so many people who they don't even know they have intuition. And instead reason. They won't even be open to intuiting unless they reason it first.
Is
But I like the
apologetics like that? Is that what apologetics is? Reason first?
I think so. I think so. And it's what comes first? I mean, if you have to have if you have to have reasons, if you have to reason your faith out, then it's not faith,
Right.
because faith doesn't walk by sight. It doesn't walk by what we see. It doesn't walk by appearances. The wisdom of the world is foolishness to God. Because I believe that we are called, our great strength is in our intuition and our imagination, but our intuition and our imagination works together. But I think that we'd be a lot nicer to each other and a lot clearer with each other if we would truly open our spirit to start intuiting. The children of God, it's one of my favorite verses in the Bible is Romans 8:14. The children of God are those who are led by the Spirit of God. Another way to say it, those who are led by the promptings of God, those who are led by the intuitions of God. All right. That's we hear God through intuition. And so, but you say, well, how do I know that this is even a true intuition? How do I know this isn't just an imagination, a vain imagination or something? I believe
Test
that
it.
if fear is involved, if fear is involved, it's not an intuition of the spirit, because I truly believe the spirit of God is fearless, and the spirit of God is non-accusatory, and the spirit of God doesn't pigeonhole anybody, and the
Well, we
spirit of God isn't intimidated by anybody.
right.
And we those are the things normally that we might wrongly call that intuition. If I'm intimidated by somebody, or if I'm fearful, if I'm thinking the worst, or if I'm not it's pretty easy to pin, and it's not like the Bible doesn't sit there and say, we don't have a spirit of fear. We haven't been given a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. And I'm not talking about La La Land,
Right.
charismatic, over rhetoric. I'm not talking about that kind of thing. I'm just talking about a peaceful spirit that puts its faith in the Lord, that leans on the Lord, acknowledges the Lord, and expects to be prompted. Maybe not. We're never going to get explained everything. I've given that up long ago. I no longer expect the Spirit to explain everything to
We
me.
argue less now.
Yeah, but now I'm enjoying just feeling his promptings and following my intuitions and exploring with my intuitions. You and I were talking a few minutes ago about walking in both worlds, the world of deconstructionists and also the world of people that are still within institutional variations of the church. And it's so easy for one side to pigeonhole the other. I know some great evangelists. Yeah. Well, when I say great, some well-known evangelists came out just, yeah, you know, with a poo-poo list of deconstructionists. Yeah, recently. But we do the same thing. I mean, the deconstructionists do the same thing. And they tend to group everyone. They tend to group all those evangelicals together and pigeonhole them. And like we were talking earlier, you know, Kierkegaard said, when you label me, you negate me. And that's another sign.
Because you cease to listen, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Because I've got you pigeonholed. I already know what you are. So I'm intimidated.
Isn't that another word for judging?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's world treating someone like they have a disease. You know, oh, I recognize you have a disease, so I'm really going to take what you say lightly. What would happen if we just sit there and say, look, you believe in Christ, you know, maybe in different ways than I do, but you know what? I'm not scared of you. I'm not intimidated of you. I'm not trying to convert you. I want to get to know you. Yeah. You know, I want to understand. I want to hear your heart. You know, I want to understand your heart and not your theology so much.
Yeah.
You know,
I think that those who would balk at this idea of intuition, because I like what the comedian implied, that there's an intuitive truth that's experienced. Those that would say, call that out and disbelieve it, are most likely those, if I were to ask them to describe God, they would have a very categorized, cubbyholed, systematic theology textbook framework for who God is. And they haven't even read their textbook, unfortunately, because I think, again, we've seen this meme that says, you know, something's not true just because I now hear it. It's been true all along, right? I've seen that. Right. I talk about that. Something's not true. It might be new, but it's just new to you. It's not new to the history of the church or the history of all theologies. And so to have a more gentle heart and approach to receive what could be true, to trust the intuition, or I call it, there's a light in every one of us already that already knows truth, and truth recognizes truth. So that comedian intuitively recognized truth, couldn't fully articulate it, but knew spirit to spirit or light to light, there's something really different here.
Yes.
And I think that intuition is underrated and not talked about enough. I see people walking around in a store or going to a coffee shop. Once in a while, there's a weird intuition of light coming at me, and that you just sense. Or I've walked into a place and people turn and look at me. They're, what's with that? But then I realized, wait a minute, I came in happy. What was that? You know, I looked different. I was it the light in me? Maybe. But there's something intuitive you can't identify, because we're not skilled in the art of being aware of our surroundings or reading the energy in the room, which is a weird term in the church. Yes. Anyway, but it's still the same. It's like looking for the light. There's something here in what you said and what that comedian said that reflects Christ's light and life is in all already. And that is what people balk at, because it can't be true because of your theology difference of how one is saved.
Oh yeah. That is so lovely. I mean, I was telling you about, my girlfriend, Heather, she's the most amazing person. Everywhere we go, she talks to anybody that's around us. You know, if we're in the elevator, she'll say, "Hey, how you doing today? Have you had a good day?" We go up to any store to, you know, salespeople at store or whatever. She'll ask them questions. You know, I'm so used to ducking and avoiding salesman's questions. She'll start the process off. How are you doing today? Oh, that's a nice, you know, nice shirt you're wearing. I mean, but it's like, even though she's barely conscious of it, maybe not calling it intuition, I've noticed, I'm learning from her. Everywhere she goes, she's intuiting light. She's trying to draw forth light out of the situation and kindness. And it's effortless. You know, because she's intuiting, hey, you know, the humanity of someone. And see, when we label them, when we start labeling them, is it just like I did with store employees?
Yeah.
You know, not that I would intentionally do that, but I was subconsciously doing it.
So
so that I remain closed. I've always been incredibly shy. Yeah, I know it's hard to believe as much as I talk, but I've always been incredibly shy when I'm around strangers. And I'm beginning to realize it's because I'm closed. to them. It's like I've let them intimidate me, and I don't, I can't be as free flowing as Heather was in that. She has a wonderful intuitive ability to bless and to call forth light out of people. And so do we. But yeah. What does Jesus say? We take the bushel off. If we put it over the light, you know, it blocks the light from coming forth.
But that's almost a skill to be learned, right? It's an attribute in us, but it's not a skill that people have done well at either. Some overdo it and they're just arrogant or annoying, right? Because the Bible says it's supposed to do this. And so there's something about the gentleness of the Spirit, the gentleness of God, and what you've experienced with your girlfriend. She is exploding in a category that you recognize is true. It's not naturally part of how you function necessarily, but God put the two of you together right now so that you're going to experience something you couldn't have without her. And so this is going to expand you, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. And, you know, she was a missionary to the Balkans. So she's been in the killing places, you know, and there's a perspective. And see, you know, that would be another example that she's got a missionary heart, and deconstructionists, you know, we need to respect that. We need to respect that certain people have a different calling than ours and a different viewpoint than ours.
Yeah.
You know, Heather can go to Catholic services and cry and weep, whereas Richard might go to a Catholic service and say, well, I don't agree with that ceremony or that. This or that. And I'm just, instead of just entering into what's going on, not knowing that the Spirit is our guard and the Spirit, it's more important that we connect with other humanity, you know, on a respectful level and on a level that's not looking down at them, on a level that's not pigeonholing them. I mean, I feel like a kid. I feel like I'm deconstructing that.
Well, speaking of deconstruction, I want to share this picture with you. You probably won't see it on your phone, but I'm going to read it, and so our audience can see it in the recording, because I think it's really good. This will fit the deconstruction. It says, when I say I'm deconstructing, it doesn't mean that I've lost my faith or that I'm walking away from God. Quite the contrary. It means I no longer am satisfied with the autopilot faith that asks no questions and isn't overflowing with curiosity. It means I'm uprooting toxic beliefs passed down to me from flawed systems. It means I am holding space for doubting aspects of religion while seeking a more intimate, authentic relationship with God.
Bravo.
I know. That was cool, because I, even in the camp of deconstruction, which I love it. I've been deconstructing for 20 years. I just didn't use that term for a long time. And now it's getting a bad name, and that's a bad thing. But honestly, it's a label right now that's a shortcut to what we're experiencing of unlearning systems that were never true anyway. And so don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. The word deconstruct, there are some folks that are just hearing for the first time. And if you bombastically bash it, you're putting more fear into them. So this whole idea of a fear-based thing, and yet intuitively they know there's something in that word that they're drawn to, because God's calling them deep, calls to deep. And so there's something deeper they're being dragged towards, which is going to be a painful journey as you detach from things that you were never supposed to have been attached to. So,
you know, what's quickened to me is back in the Jerusalem Council, when they were talking about which of the Jewish laws to keep, if any, you know, what was going on. And they were hearing about Paul doing all this, you know, doing all this stuff. And what's going on? How do we deal with this? And it said, you know, they say it seemed good to the Holy Spirit in us, James, you know, and it seemed good to the Holy Spirit in us. They actually had a confab about it. And they listed three or four things, you know, this would be good, this would be good. But it was so much... it was so much looser and broader and non-demanding. Yeah. And, you know, I just keep hearing in this that the Holy Spirit wants us all to loosen up, you know, and to stop being so hypercritical. Now listen, I feel this quickened to me too. You know, one of the things about pioneers, and I think a lot of deconstructionists have a pioneer spirit. And some people don't have a pioneer spirit, and that's fine. There are city builders and there are pioneers who find a city, but then they get rustled.
We need them all.
We do. We need them all. But, you know, once a pioneer carves a path, I think the trap we can fall into is to think everyone needs to follow my path.
Yeah.
And a lot of us did come out of an institutional, but not all of us did.
Yep.
A lot of us, I mean, you haven't. I mean, you walk in both worlds.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, there's no protocol for this. And I think there's something in our human carnality that wants us, you got to walk my path.
So,
you know, you got to hack through what I hack through. No, I don't have to hack.
Correct.
I hack through it. My hope should be you don't have to hack through it.
Let me give you a great example of that. So because I'm a pastor at church, and this is where I'm straddling the religious world, the traditional churched world. I've got my foot in it. I'm not of it, but they're my relatives. Just like Paul Young says, they're my people. And that's an important line to remember. There's a humility there, which is a don't bash them humility, right? The one we're talking about. But I've had folks, as I'm sharing my personal journey of being really churched in a very legalistic church, I have folks at my church that never experienced that lens, but most of my church has. So they're still reminding me, well, we don't know that picture of God. We were never exposed to that. This is new to us. You seem to be really harsh on that. And so I get this wisdom from folks to, hey, careful with your pokes and prods, you know, because sometimes I forget and I call out a tribe and I'm learning to not do that more and more. I want to be trusted, right? Because if somebody's going to point someone to my teaching, let's say, I better be safe. And that goes for every other teacher, right? So, but the fact that many have not been exposed to an angry God baffles my mind. It's like, what? That's all I knew. So I have an audience I know I can connect to, but there's an audience I'm connected to, but I don't understand how they could not have been exposed to that. And I'm like, you are so lucky, all the trauma I'm trying to heal from. And they don't have to. So there is not a one cookie cutter fit for those that are angry, right? Be careful that there is good news. Then you're not the only Christian in North America. There are believers around the world that have a better, deeper, more beautiful, balanced faith background that we need to learn from. You know?
Yes.
But they're also here, but we just don't see them very often. As in their voice is not allowed through all the chaos. And so that's why I like connecting with different speakers and teachers and personality types, because we need all the voices. All of these lenses make a beautiful tapestry, a colorful piece of art that we're just one color.
Yeah. Well, actually, one of my favorite words, though, is prismatic, which means that there's different colors. It shines through like a prism.
Yeah.
You know,
it changes.
And that's, And I'm skewering my own. I'm going through my own memories right now at ultra speed. I'm searching my own memory and I'm realizing how shielded I've been from other people, and how I know that when I'm really walking in the spirit and in that high intuition, that's a good term to put with intuition, is high. What we're looking for is high intuition.
Yeah.
If it's low, it's like the awe of the Lord. And in fact, you know, I wonder if it isn't the awe of the Lord, because, you know, the rabbis believed there were two fears of the Lord. There was the lower fear, which is just terror, and that wasn't the right fear. That was the wrong fear. But then the higher fear was awe.
I've
never even had this thought before, but maybe this intuition we're talking about is the awe of the Lord. It is that yielding. It's that submission. It's that confidence.
And it pokes
in the
you.
Goodness.
It pokes on you all the time until you listen to it.
Yeah, yeah. And hope. Keep your chin up. Hope. I love you. You know, I get this. Don't panic. You know, I've had so many situations this week where I have been, you know, I had a wonderful week in court, and then things started going sideways a little bit this morning. But then I paused for a second. I took a deep breath and I felt like the Lord just came back into the thing. And I recognized it, and I took a lump or two, but I was in a good place with it. I wasn't upset about it. I didn't have this fear or this dread or, you know, anger or anything like that. And I felt purged in court. And there's so much relating we can do with each other. And you know what's not going on out there is what Ephesians says. the coming together of the coming together of the body of Christ, where every ligament, every muscle, everything comes together and starts working. How on earth can that happen with all of this labeling? And this body, this part of the body doesn't say, I don't need that part of the body. I mean, none of that happens, but we come together in the unity of the Spirit. And that can only happen if we drop these labels. And, you know, whatever, and listen, am I saying that there aren't errors in other groups? No. Am I saying there's not error in my own thinking? No. You know, we make our best call and we walk in it. But at the same time, we don't need to be intimidated or scared that we're going to catch cooties. I don't know if there's a Canadian equivalent of that. But back when I was young, you know, you don't touch me. You have cooties, you know, which really means is I don't like the way you look.
We said you have fleas.
Okay. So I remember we used to have cootie inoculations, like an invisible thing. It's just absurd. But just to start seeing the beauty, if we would just start seeing the beauty in each other, the divinity in each other, look past to see how we are made in the image of God. How is this person that's irritating me, or that may be in this institution? Well, really, I was looking at my memories the other day, and I posted something a couple of years ago, and I said, I don't even remember saying this, but it was that Christianity is an organ, is an organism, not a mechanism.
Yeah.
And I think that that is so true. We have a mechanistic way of thinking, and that's what keeps us pigeonholing. That's what keeps us scared. That's what keeps us assuming the worst, expecting the worst, and it ends up just, you know, loading us down with covers and shields, and we're armored up when we shouldn't be armored up. We should be armored up against, you know, against evil, but we shouldn't be armored up against each other, you know.
So because but isn't the armor, okay, this is my lens, sorry, but sure. I see the armor of God, so to speak, is not that Sunday school thing you have to put on this stuff every morning, but rather it's an expression of our identity in Christ, of all that is already true. That's what I see the armor as, you know.
Yeah,
and who does the
totally
fighting
agree.
Not
you
us.
Well, and you know, Paul says put on the Lord Jesus Christ. His armor is his nature, but what is his nature? His nature is goodness and love. Who was Jesus intimidated by? He wasn't intimidated by anybody.
Yep.
You know, he got onto those Pharisees sometimes because of their groupthink, and he exposed it. And I'm not saying that we should never tell somebody that we disagree with where they're coming from on something. But you know what? One thing I love about the Jews, if you look at their history and read their theology, they're okay with arguing with each other. They don't take it personal. They say, okay, well, let's hammer it out. Let's see if we can come up with a thing. We're so old. You know, he disagreed with me. We get offended.
Yep.
But if you know, if we could just drop the which is fear, you know, I think that's that's anger, that's an element of fear. But if we can just say we can discuss things we disagree about and still honestly hug each other as we leave each other, you know, and
but then you have folks who overdo that and they say, well, I'm just standing up for truth, to speak my mind, and it's like, wait a minute. Are you speaking the mind of Christ? Because I don't recognize it. And then I have the mind of Christ too, and we're not recognizing it. That ain't the mind of Christ. So this arrogance that can come out to try and just do a quick end the argument mindset totally doesn't help the conversation. And trust has to be there. Like if you've not been invited in, maybe don't try and enter into the conversation. Some Facebook people need to learn this, including me. You know, don't just scroll by if you disagree. Just, you don't have to give your thought every time just because you can.
Well, and the hostility, there's name calling, whenever there's name calling.
There's no room for that.
But you know what I've noticed too? I've shared this with you. It's been a long time that I shared this with you, but not that it's that big a deal, but I was at the gym one day, and we were talking about my clients with a guy who's real fundamentalist. He's a sweet guy, but he's fundamentalist. And he started talking about criminals and just, you know, saying how they needed to be, a good stone and never hurt anybody, you know, just something along those lines. And
something Jesus would say, right?
Yeah. So I just said, well, I think I'll just go with Jesus on that one, And he ended up coming to me later and apologizing. He was saying, when you said that, I realized how wrong I was.
So that means your demeanor in response kept the pathway open instead of fighting back.
Exactly. And it was respectful, and I smiled when I said it, and I genuinely was smiling because I like this guy. But it was almost, and you know, I learned so much that day. You know, that instead of ignoring people, you know, if they're engaging me, I'll say what I can. But I find that the Lord really will give us one of these intuitions. He'll give us is something short and sweet. I just in my own life, I don't tend to get long diatribes. I don't intuit long diatribes, but when I say something that helps, it's almost always a sentence or two
It's
and
not a
no more.
formula, right? Because people are going to hear this and, well, I want that. And so they're going to try and figure out how to get the intuition. But that's not what's being said here. This is about starting to recognize the intuition, or start to recognize the light in you, or trust that God wants you to see his light in something today or this week. Now open your eyes and look for it this week. It's there. Just keep your eyes open. And that, I think, is the intuition of God.
That's perfect, Mike. That's perfect. And it's a mind, it's an openness. You know, it's an openness. One of the great things that I've seen in myself is how closed I've been in certain areas of my life. And when you're closed off in certain areas of your life, there's going to be explosions, there's going to be all sorts of things. You know, but when we come out of the shadows and we start integrating all that we are, we're then able to be open. I'm discovering things these days. I'm discovering that my body speaks to me. I mean, speaks to me, that my body moves ahead of my mind.
I know my stomach
And
grumbles all the time, says eat something.
well,
Sorry.
that is one example. But just the idea that there's so much more to our consciousness than just. And that's that intuition again. I think intuition can speak through our emotions, can speak through our bodies, can speak through, you know, appetites and things like that. And I'm amazed. There's so much more to the human, to us individual, than we're so barely conscious of. That I almost feel like we're exploring our inheritance, you know, in the heavenly places when we come out of just institutional religion. You know, but at the same time, we can't assume that somebody that is still in the institution isn't walking their own path with it and maybe going a different way or maybe
What if the
going a
Lord told them
less.
to stay?
Exactly. Who are we? It's not really on one level, it's not even our business, really. Our business is to connect with them about Jesus on whatever level we can fellowship with it and to learn from each other.
It's not our
You know,
church.
And well, how much more time? I once realized how much more time I have during the day if I stop judging everything.
That
It clears up my calendar like
is humbling.
that.
Well, I think people need to hear that not one of us has arrived. We're all still learning. I love hearing from the different guests, you included, and with Bill when he gets a chance to come back on. We're expressing a comparison, a contrast of the journey, or sharing some of the steps of how we've done it wrong and how the Holy Spirit has been gentle to teach us another step on it, right? And what, I think that gives other people hope that, oh, I've had similar ones. Okay. Thanks. I'm normal. This happens to everybody. So I think these conversations are critical, including the intuition that, hey, some people are going to hear this and go, I knew it. I knew I had it.
Well, and you know, you might say something to somebody. We think we have to convert everybody and
You
expose
don't.
their error. We
No.
don't have to do any of that. If we speak the truth, and then they ask a question, and it's a good spirited question. Maybe we can get into some explanations. But I've realized that I look at people that I know that maybe in the past I've done this. I'm trying not to do it anymore. But in the past, I've looked at people who are institutionalized as having cooties. You know, that I've got to be careful with them. They don't really know what they're doing. They don't really understand the deeper truths. How arrogant of me to say that. And even if they don't know this, the deeper truths, how arrogant of me anyway to say it. You know, why not just be who you are and love these people, be kind to them and let your kindness and let your goodwill minister to them.
So
And
let me
then if a
jump.
door opens, it opens.
Right. Okay. Because I want to jump in that for just a second, because I also want people to recognize and hear there are times you need to disconnect and disassociate for your personal moment, but don't bleed all over everyone else. Do it privately and quietly and gently. Otherwise, you're declaring you're all wrong. But to not have to declare that because God's doing something in you, you're not hurting people. And that's a hard one to learn. It really is, because I know some folks that are in traditional churches, and God hasn't told them to leave. They're a light in that place, and that's okay. They're there for their fellowship. That's where their friend groups are. It's like, wait a minute, church is more than just religion. Like, it can be your connection of friends. Why? It's okay if that's your reason. Great. Just don't over-spiritualize it then. So I just think
Well,
we need room for that.
yeah, and you know what? If they don't leave, even if we think they should leave, even if we've stayed in there and been patient and we still think it's hurting them more than it's helping them, it's still not our call. They need to hear it for themselves. And if they're not in a place to either seek counsel on it or give it some thought or ask, hey, would you pray for me about this situation? And maybe we should tell that to people a lot more. You know, well, I'm going to
Quietly.
pray for you if they're struggling. Well, let me pray for you, that you'll get some illumination on it, and that it'll be fear-free illumination, and you'll know what to do, and it'll be a good path for you.
And
I mean, just
I bet you it's a private conversation, not amongst others here. Look at me, I'm telling you what
agreed,
to do, right?
agreed, agreed, agreed. Well, and we you've been a great influence in my life. to be more discreet when you're on social media and that sort of thing. And I think that came up at a recent trial I was in, and pretty interesting, as a matter of fact, that once you post something, you can't unpost it. Well, you can, but you can't have people
Too late.
unread it. And just how important it is, if you've had a beer or two or whatever, you're angry or you're hurt. To not post on a broad level, that sort of thing. But by all means, post it to a friend, who shares your burdens with you, or a struggle or something like that. But it's just part of the price of being open, of being an open spirit, an organic spirit that looks like you're saying. I love the way you said that earlier, that we're just looking for those opportunities. Part of the price of that is not being dogmatic. And not be, not going off on these diatribes and these causes. I look back for years ago at some of my Facebook posts, and I hate my rhetoric. I hate how strident I was about it, and I hate sarcasm. And I've been sarcastic, and I'm still, so, but I never feel good about it. It's like castor oil. I may need it, on occasion. And I'm not talking about gentle sarcasm. I'm talking about
When
sarcasm
you're
that.
sitting at a restaurant with your buddies and you're sarcastic to each other, that's fun banter. That's not the sarcasm you're talking about.
Agreed. Agreed. No. It's just sarcasm about how stupid. It's caricaturing those you disagree with, by making it sound, by oversimplifying it, or making them seem cartoonish.
I wish we could learn that with politics.
Well,
I
that may be the last. That may be like hell. That may be the last thing before
know.
the last enemy,
Oh man.
politics.
On that note, we got to wrap this up. Oh man. Well, thank you for this chat. This is really good.
Oh, I
Folks,
loved it.
I hope that was encouraging. We were hoping to get to Bill on. We're just going to pray for Bill and his wife walking through some stuff. So, but either way, to think of them, and this will air soon, and this will be a lot of fun. So thanks again, Richard.
Okay, you bet.
All right. I hope that was good. I hope you enjoyed that conversation regarding how God works in and through us. But after rehearing this for the first time since we recorded it, I just got something else out of it that was really cool. And it was just a nice reminder of being gentle with others, not to try to be the answer person or the person who is always right or having to be right or even worse, be more right than the other person you're having a discussion with. This is about agape, the love of Christ in us, and the light of Christ living out through us. It was pretty cool. I hope you enjoyed that. If you enjoyed that, pass it around and share it with some friends. And we look forward to seeing you guys next time on Still Growing in Grace. Join me next time on Still Growing in Grace for more good news. Enjoy previous episodes by downloading our podcast at growingingrace.ca. You can also visit hopefellowshipycc.com to find our service times and location. If this show has been an encouragement to you, please consider making a donation today at growingingrace.ca and help us keep spreading this good news. Thank you again for tuning in to Still Growing in Grace.